Good morning, Pastor Bryce here, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. If you have your Bible, if you could take it to Luke chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 13 this morning. But before I do that, I want to share with you a story that I shared with the teens just a few weeks ago. When I was younger, I used to play a lot of baseball. I played from the age that I was about 5 till about 16 years old. And one of the areas that I struggled in baseball with was batting. And so when I was about 12 years old, my dad said to me one day, "Hey, we're going to go out to the ball field, and I want to be able to help you improve your baseball game." And so we went down to the baseball field, and he just pitched me ball after ball after ball. Sometimes he would throw a fastball, sometimes it would be a curveball, sometimes it would be a changeup, and he would throw me different pitches so that I could get used to seeing them and be able to hit them successfully. Well, after a while, it became obvious that I just wasn't getting it. And so my dad said, "Hey, when I pitch the ball, make sure you watch for the seams and you watch the way the ball turns so that by the time it gets to you, you have an idea of what kind of pitch I pitched to you." Well, my response to my dad was, "When you pitch the baseball, I can't see seams at all." And it was in that moment that he realized that I needed to go to the eye doctor and get my eyes checked. Well, I went and I got my eyes checked, and it became obvious that up to that point, I was basically blind. And so I got fitted for glasses. By the time I got my glasses and went back to the baseball field, my world had drastically changed. At this point, the baseball now had seams on it, trees now had leaves on them, and books now had words in them. Okay, that might be an exaggeration, but you know my point. My perspective on the world had totally changed. And here in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13, there's two brothers, and their perspective needs to totally change. It says in verse 13, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" And so in this passage, there's a brother that comes to Jesus, and he really wants Jesus to tell his older brother that he must divide his inheritance with him, because what this brother considered valuable was money and the inheritance. Well, Jesus' response to this brother is, "Well, I'm not going to be an arbitrator. I'm not going to be an umpire between you and your brother here." Instead, what Jesus counseled him with was this: beware of your covetousness. And Jesus challenged him to change his perspective, that maybe what's important here is not the inheritance, but rather his relationship with his brother. And then to really drive the point home, Jesus tells them a parable. It says in verse 16, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" And in telling this parable, Jesus really drives home the point that accumulating wealth is really not what's important in this life, but what's really important is being rich towards God. And with the events that's happened in the last few weeks, we have all been prescribed a new pair of glasses, haven't we? I know a lot of us are nervous about the economic outlook after all this is over, but it's also important for us to consider that maybe our financial well-being is not the most important thing. Maybe God has allowed this to come on our lives in order to change our perspective, that we would see the world differently and see what's truly valuable. A lot of Americans have really grown up with the idea of accumulating wealth, and accumulating wealth for wealth's sake so that we can have nice things and bigger barns and greater this and greater that. But in this passage, God comes to this man and says about him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be?" And that totally changes the perspective. It changes the perspective away from, you know what, maybe the goal isn't to accumulate wealth on this earth, but maybe the goal is to be rich towards God so that we can invest in his kingdom. Jesus actually does make this point. He says in verse 22, saying to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." And he goes on to describe how God provides for the birds, and if God provides for them, how much more will he provide for you? And that God clothes the flowers of the field, and if God clothes them, how much more will he clothe you? And so he challenges us, "Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." And then he says something to his disciples that's a huge encouragement to us today. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so God promises, hey, if I provide for the birds and I provide for the flowers, I will also provide for you. And I won't provide all of your greeds, but I will provide all of your needs. And then Jesus says, "And don't fear, because God is going to give you his kingdom." Wow. If someone were to come up to me today and say, "Hey, I have a surefire way for you to make money. Give me X amount of dollars, I'll invest it for you, and you'll come out that much richer." You know, I'm going to be honest with you, I'll be very, very skeptical, because we live in a broken world and in a broken financial system. And there is no such thing as 100% guarantee of making money. But here Jesus says, invest your life in the kingdom of God, and it's 100% guaranteed. In fact, God guarantees it, that God will give you the kingdom. It is 100% guaranteed that if you invest your life in the kingdom of God, that you will receive it. And so we're challenged, don't think of your life as physical things. Don't just consider what you'll eat and what you'll wear and how much wealth you have, but instead consider how you're investing your life in the kingdom of God. Now, I say all this not to say that the economic concerns aren't real. As a matter of fact, they are very real. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that working is filled with dignity, and it's a way that we love our neighbors. In Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters that you have increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray for the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." And so in Jeremiah, it becomes clear to us that wherever God puts us, we are to work to be fruitful and multiply. And we're to seek the welfare and the financial benefit of wherever God has planted us, because God chooses to bless us through the prosperity of wherever we live. And it's a way for us to love our neighbor. Somebody that has a successful business can love their neighbor by providing jobs. And so I don't want to diminish that. Paul also writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, "Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to who has need." In other words, there is dignity in work, and we work so that we can have, so that we can give and love others. And I definitely, definitely don't want to diminish that, because that's a reality that we see in God's word, and that's a reality that we experience in life. But I also want to direct our attention to the fact that we are investing our life as believers in the coming kingdom of God, and it is 100% guaranteed that whatever we invest in that kingdom will be well worth the investment. Jesus said to Peter that whatever we invest, whatever we give up, will be returned to us 100-fold in the kingdom of God. What an encouragement in a time of financial instability. What an encouragement in a time of uncertainty to know that we as believers are investing in our life in something that is guaranteed to be successful. And we must give thanks to the Lord and be thankful for that, because it's not our work that's guaranteed to be successful, but rather it's the promise of God that guarantees its success. And we can rest in the fact that in the middle of a crisis where our 401ks are not guaranteed, our IRAs are not guaranteed, and whatever other investments we have are definitely not guaranteed, but yet our investment in the kingdom of God is 100% guaranteed. So let's keep putting our treasure there so that our heart may be there also.